We do have a prayer time, and I'm going to ask in a little bit of if there are any prayer requests that we need to lay hold of. I was saved at 10 years old, came into the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church with my family, and immediately was made acquainted with prayer meetings. Let me poll the audience. If you don't mind, how many of you have a prayer service at your church? Good, good. How many of you go to it? No, don't ask that. That's not right. No, the first question was absolutely appropriate. Second one was uncalled for. But, you know, I'm thankful that I was introduced as a young fella to a prayer meeting. And guess what we did in a prayer meeting? What was that? You're absolutely right. We prayed, and my brother and I, in fact, and my sisters at that time, there were three, we would all gather together in a small back room of the Kingsburg Pentecostal Church, and it was kind of tight, you know, it's where you sort of were shoulder to shoulder and almost feet to feet. It was so close, And my mother, when she got saved, she said, you know, we're going to go to prayer meeting and Bible study on Thursday and Sunday evening and Sunday morning. And if you're off Thursday morning, we went to a lot of meetings. And, you know, but the prayer meeting was when we really learned to pray. But my brother and I, we discovered something about prayer meetings, that there are different prayers. You know, not everybody prays the same. And my brother and I would compare notes. We would make observations of the different way people prayed. And I have a few here. There were the seekers. The seekers, they were the ones who scrunched up their eyes really tight. And you know, they from the very minute of the prayer meeting, they were intense. And you might have noticed them. Like, they go to prayer and it's like, God, oh Lord. You know, as if their whole body was in agony. And then we noticed there were the creepers. Now, the creepers were interesting people, because the creepers made unusual intercessory faces. Kind of just like as if they couldn't swallow something. So they would look up and they'd be like, and my brother said, let's call them creepers. But then there were the sleepers. And my brother was one of them. One time my brother, we were at the altar praying, and the pastor, Reverend Schulteis, dismissed the meeting. And my mother thought he was getting blessed. And said, isn't this precious? Your brother's at the altar. He's staying at the altar. Everybody else left. But Roy was sound asleep. So, well, they're sleepers. But the last category we noticed were the peekers. Now, the peekers are interesting people because they pray with one eye closed. And they check everybody else out. I guess so that they could intercede for them properly. You know, they have one eye like that, closed like that. Well, when I came up here to seek the Lord in what became known as the winter program, we would have prayer meetings, and the day of prayer was in that room over there from 9 to 3, and we would spend the day there and fast through lunch. But my first experience there were that there were none of these people that I described from my growing up experience in prayer meeting. They were all seekers. They all were earnestly seeking. I'll never forget it, until finally one prayer meeting, I fell into becoming a peeker, you know? And right directly across the room was Phil Baker, and he was a fellow peeker. You know, and we kind of caught each other's eye like this. You know, and I said, I said to him afterwards, you're a peaker, aren't you? Well, look, there's some things other than those things that I learned from prayer meeting. I learned a few things in church, and let me go over, I have a list here. A few things that in growing up in church that I learned about prayer meetings. Bow your head and fold your hands. How many of you were taught that when you were young, right? Absolutely. Here's the second one. And this was from Sister Grace Schultheis. Never say, "Oh my God," in a prayer. Unless you say it, "Oh my God." Never say, "Oh my God," because that's using the Lord's name. Don't say, "Gee, Lord," in a prayer either. This is honest. I'm not making this up. These are things that we were taught. Don't pray around the world. Do you know what that means? That meant that if you do pray out loud, don't start praying for people in Kingsburg and end up praying for people in Taiwan. And then go from there to Africa. And then move on from there to, you know, South Amboy. You know, some people do that. They're all around the world. They just traveled the whole world. And everybody else in the prayer meeting is like, it's a big world after all. Right? Isn't that true? Here's another one. Keep your eyes closed when praying out loud. Now, I never could make sense of that one, but that's one thing we learned. Here's number five. Don't pray to inform. God knows the details. Now, that's an interesting one, too. And sometimes I fall into that. You know what that is? It's like, Father, today I stepped out my door. I turned left. God, as I turned left, I noticed down the street that Mr. Smith was out trimming his rose bushes. I walked 15 steps to him, Lord, and thereupon I stopped when I made his acquaintance. It was there he said to me, "Good morning, Lord." I said to him, "How are you?" That's praying to inform. And God knows all of that, right? So we were taught, don't pray to inform because God knows the details. Here's just a few more. Don't pray into your hands or into the chair or into someone else's ear. A lot of people do that. We had a woman in Spotswood who would do that. You know, like this in the prayer. Lord, pray of your son is horrible. Pray that you come in between the bottom floors. Lord, I said it. Amen. And yet, you know, we just, all we could do is say amen. We didn't know what she was saying. But, you know, the chair was blessed. The chair got blessed. And here's the last one that we were taught. Snoring is not a form of intercession. It doesn't count. It just doesn't count. Well, those honestly are some things that we were taught and learned in church. But without being silly, I want to bring up some things that we learn from the Word of God that are important to when we go to prayer, that do make a difference. These are just five things from the Word that we can learn and need to know even before we go to prayer tonight, because there's some real serious needs that we need to bring before the Lord. Here's the first one. You have to believe prayer will make a difference. You have to come before the throne of grace and say, Lord, I really believe tonight's going to make a difference. It's going to be a profitable time for the kingdom of God. You know, there's some people who just don't believe, really, that prayer is going to make a difference. And when you don't believe that something, that prayer is going to make a difference, guess what? You don't do it then. You need to believe, God, I know that you're going to hear me. I'll tell you one more funny story, if you don't mind. There was a man way up in the woods, no power, no power lines going to him. He lived up there, and you know, he lit his house with gas lamps, and that's how he lived. But the day came when they were able to make their way through the woods and up that mountain with power lines, telephone poles, power lines, and they knocked on this man's door, and they said, "This is a great day because we've got electric coming your way. And he said, well, that's great. And they said, we're going to bring the electric and all that power into your house. And they did that. And so they brought the power into his house, and they put lights in his house and everything, and at least the availability for those things. But then they noticed something. As time went on, they noticed that the village was lit with beautiful electric lighting, but still up there in that one man's house on the hill, they noticed that there was still just the glow of gas lamps. And they thought, well, maybe something went wrong. Maybe there was a short, and the power never made it up there. So they went up there, and they said, is everything okay? We noticed you're still using the gas lamps. And they said, well, we ran the power up here. And he said, you know, the man replied to them, I just don't believe it, and I think the whole idea is ridiculous. And that's really what happened. And so instead of turning on the lights, he just used gas lamps, and he continued to use gas lamps. You know, sometimes that's how we are with prayer. God has supplied a way for us to come boldly to the throne of grace, and we just decide, well, I really don't believe that. And maybe there are some folks, even in the church today, that think prayer doesn't amount to anything. Well, listen to what Jesus said in Mark 11:22. Just listen to these words. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And Jesus said, if you're going to pray, then believe that you receive them. So the first thing is this. You have to believe that prayer is going to make a difference. And tonight, as we bring some of these requests before you, say, God, I just believe that there's going to come a change. Well, here's the second thing. You find out in the Word of God that forgiveness has a lot to do with prayer. That we can't really hold things in our hearts. We can't hold grudges in our hearts. Listen to what Jesus tells us in Mark 11:25-26. And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. And he began that with, and when ye stand praying, forgive. Well, let's pause for a moment. Is there someone or some situation in your heart that even right now you feel like, you know, I need to forgive? Because we have, again, some serious prayers to bring before the Lord. And perhaps you have some things on your heart you want God to move in. I've found this, it's always a lie of the enemy when he comes and says, I'm never going to forgive, or I can't forgive. It's really the biggest lie. Because God has given us through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ that you can choose to forgive. You don't always feel it. But let's pause right now and let's just take a moment. And maybe you do have something and you got to check in your heart and say, you know, boy, I'm going to ask you, for the sake of the needs that we're going to bring before the Lord, to say, God, by your shed blood and by your grace, I just choose to let that thing go. Let the judge of all the earth do what's right. I'm not the judge. And I can't move my emotions, but I can move my choice to say, Lord, I forgive. We just plead your blood tonight, Lord, because we see in your word that this is so important, that we forgive when we stand to pray. And we ask it all, Jesus, in your name. Amen. Well, here's the third thing. We must agree together. We must agree together. Listen to this from Matthew 18. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Again, Jesus said that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Now that's a promise from our Lord. Well, here's the fourth thing. We must abide in His Word. Listen to what we read in John 15. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. We stand on the Word of God. And here's the lastly. We pray in the name of Jesus, because He purchased it all for us. He won the day for us. He made a way for us to come boldly before that throne of grace. Jesus, we read this from John 16. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and it will, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Let me just remind us quickly. You have to believe that praying tonight is going to make a difference in His request. We need to forgive. We need to say, Lord, You forgave me and I forgive. We must be in agreement together tonight. We must stand on the Word of God together. Not a man's word, not a church's word, but we stand on God's Word tonight. And we must pray in the name of Jesus and understand the power of that name. Understand that heaven moves when we mention that name. Well, let's do that tonight, shall we? We're going to pray. I have one request I want to bring before you, but perhaps there are others as well.